This is Gabriel Marte here with the Grappling Review. I think that's the name that we're settled on for this podcast. I'm joined by my boy Danny.
Yo.
AKA resident blue belt student, of the dojo. And we're going to jump right in. And this week we're reviewing the AMP playlist that was put out by Albino and Preto and Interscope, sorry about that, as well as a couple of instructionals that we took the time to drill and watch from AOJ, from artofjujitsu.com. First, with the AMP situation, this was pretty cool because I haven't ever really seen something like this, and Albino and Preto are really kind of becoming a hardcore street brand. They're venturing out into not just jiu-jitsu stuff and grappling collaborations and partnerships.
That new era hat, man. That's the hardest thing I've seen in a while.
They came out with the new era hat. They came out with...
to be specific, the new era fitted cap.
Which is a
big staple, I think.
That's kind of huge. That's a big deal when it comes to like streetwear.
Yeah, it ain't no snapback. It's
not a snapback. It's hardcore streetwear. And, the hat game isn't, huge. But New Era is one of those brands that are, it's a marquee brand when it comes to, streetwear. And having that kind of collaboration is huge for a grappling brand. You know, it's a brand that focuses primarily on grappling products and then permeating the streetwear, game. By partnering up with New Era, Bear Brick, which they did a exclusive gi as well as a exclusive Bear Brick, model. And now they partnered up with Interscope to release a public playlist on Spotify. I believe it's on Apple as well. I pretty much only use Spotify, but you can find it two ways. Obviously, you can just go to Spotify and Google AMP powered by Interscope. Or not Google, but search in Spotify, AMP powered by Interscope. Or you can go to AMP's IG, where they have the link on their IG profile. So, and that would be Albino and Preto on IG. So
it doesn't look like it's on Apple Music. I'm checking right now.
Okay.
Nah.
Okay, let me take a look at the
Spotify for sure.
Spotify for sure. Yeah. So it might be an exclusive thing with Spotify. Yeah. But. Oh, and before we continue, if you hear some sound artifacts and stuff, we are remotely podcasting, so we're not able to meet up in a studio because we are quarantining still. And so
New York City, so.
Yeah. We tried to record actually last night, but with the fireworks and all that going on, we decided that probably wouldn't be the best thing to have fireworks going on in the background of our episode. So
yeah, we could have recorded at 2 in the morning, but they've been going off at 2 in the morning also, so.
Yeah. So anyway, back to the playlist. The playlist is pretty interesting. It's cool because it's a callback to the classic music that, like, for the most part, most of the playlist that we kind of grew up on. It's Interscope after all. So you got Tupac, Kendrick Lamar, The Baby, Game, 50 Cent, Eminem, Dr. Dre, Schoolboy Q, and a bunch of other artists, especially some more up-and-coming artists as well. But it's mostly that old-school hip-hop and old-school rap, really, more so than just straight-up hip-hop. And it was pretty dope. I think, I checked it out last night during some secret training. And it's cool to train with.
It's definitely hype music. Definitely hype.
I mean, I don't know if it's almost like a little bit of a placebo effect, knowing that it's a playlist that was catered and designed by a grappling brand.
Actually, right before we started this, I was actually working out to it, and I was doing core, but whatever.
It's still
a hype. Got me hype. Worked. I like
it. Yeah. Not for sure, man. It's pretty cool. Is there like a few tracks? What are your top three tracks on the list?
Ooh, that's rough.
If you had to quickly scan through the playlist and pick three tracks.
I mean, honestly, the first thing, as soon as the track started, I hit play and the next episode came on and you hear that. Dun, 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 dun. Dude. I was like, oh, okay, it's going to be one of those. And
yeah,
I mean, you know, we grew up on the East Coast, so a little part of me was just like, oh, this is going to be like a West Coast playlist. But hey, you know, I got
to right. That's true. Yeah. I mean,
for everyone, but.
The you know, AMP, Shoiro, they're
right,
all, they're in the West Coast, so so that's kind of expected. So I don't know, me personally, I think I mean, I also thought like the next episode is one of my all time favorite tracks.
Yeah. And it's iconic, right? That first literally the first bam,
dun, dun. Yeah. Middle Child by J. Cole. I'm a big fan of J. Cole too.
Okay.
So that's dope to see that on there. But Schoolboy Q, which is cool, I like the fact that they put Schoolboy Q in there just because he's not super well known. He's I don't know, I feel like his music is I don't want to say eccentric, but it's different,
you know. Yeah, he's not quite underground, but it's definitely he's not as mainstream as other people,
right? So,
well, definitely one of my favorite Kendrick songs is on there, Backseat Freestyle. Like, to me, that's one of Kendrick's best tracks. I love that track.
Word. Yeah. I honestly, one thing, I felt like it's a little bit lacking. I would have liked to see a few more, like, Eminem classics on there. But I can understand why it's not there, just because it seems like the playlist is less about, like, the super classics, because the hitters on the playlist over here, like, you could have filled it with just their classics and everything else would have just been overshadowed by the legendary status of some of those classics by Dre, Snoop, and Eminem and 50 Cent. So it's cool that I think that there was like some real good thought put into the playlist to highlight some of the newer or lesser known rappers within a playlist of, you know, some of these legendary guys.
Right.
So that's pretty dope. So
I'm looking at it in terms of like the Eminem tracks. There's like, I don't think there's anything from Marshall Mathers LP or Slim Shady LP. Eminem show is as far back as it goes.
Yeah, exactly. So, but it's still a super dope playlist. You can find it on at least for now. AMP has it on
their Instagram.
On their Instagram in their bio, so you can find the link there.
Or you just search it right through.
Just search it on Spotify. So, all right. So now going to the bread and butter of this episode. So what we're going to be doing is these review episodes where we take something, some sort of product. Again, this is a kind of a new podcast that I'm venturing out into, but or that we're venturing out into.
Yep.
But essentially, we want to kind of do a little bit of legwork for you, take a look at some of the products that are out there, such as instructional DVDs, documentaries that you would have to pay for, you know, things like that, or any and all other services that have to do with grappling in general, the entire grappling world. That's why it's called the Grappling Review. And today we are going to be reviewing a portion of Art of Jiu-Jitsu.com's online program. I've, you know, taken a look at their online system for some time now. I've referenced it many a time when I go to, you know, get some more information and, you know, just better myself in jiu-jitsu and so on and so forth. However, I have never sat down to take a look at the system as a whole. Right, like the online learning system as a whole, and this time I got to take. I think we got a chance to take a look at the instructional and how they set it up. The website is pretty simple. It's straightforward. artofjiujitsu.com. That's where you would go to find the instructionals. I will say that Art of Jiu-Jitsu does have one of the cleanest looking websites.
Yeah, it's pretty minimal, but it's very easy to get around.
It's also obviously part of their design language for their atmosphere, their style of teaching, and the whole nine. When you get to the online schooling page or the online, you know, programs page, and you sign in, it's pretty easy to find what you're looking for. When you search for anything like triangle setups, omoplata setups, certain type of passes. It's pretty easy to find any videos that might be tagged with that topic. It could be, you know, if you just put in Toriando pass, you may see how to execute it, how to combo it, how to defend against it, or maybe some highlight rolling videos of someone, one of the guys, usually one of the Mendez brothers or one of the better known names in AOJ, executing those passes or those techniques in a rolling session. So if I'm going to kind of review that, I would say it's one of the better interfaces out there. Now, as far as the techniques, obviously there's a plethora of techniques to review. So we kind of focused on a specific topic, which is the collar and sleeve, you know, topic over here. So we each kind of took a video that, you know, we wanted to go through the instructional of the video and then implement it in our own drilling session. And we're going to start with what Danny's choice was, which is the collar and sleeve transition to X guard or modified X guard. Before we kind of get into the details of the actual technique and all that, how did you feel about the video itself, the instructional, the quality of the video, the production of the instructional? How did you feel about the video itself before you even started thinking about drilling it, before me and you, you know, put on the gi and, you know, practice the tech?
I mean, I went through a couple of the videos to see which one I kind of wanted to drill. First off, the like first impression of the appearance, it is like a regular standard class going around. He's got his students around him and he's drilling the technique. Going back to what you said about the website, it's a very clean look. Like everyone's in their white gis and, you know, the mats are nice and clean. You do see some people in the background. I believe the space is
right.
Huge.
Well, one of the things about it is that, you know, there are different kinds of instructionals. If you look at BJJ Fanatics, those are instructionals that are specifically, you know, filmed for DVD sales. Whereas these instructionals, like, you know, like Cobrinha's online program as well, they're drop-in instructionals. They're basically you're dropping into a class, yeah, right? So this isn't something that was designed for a DVD sale. This was something designed for their students,
right,
for which you're partaking, which is something that I appreciate. The reason I appreciate that mainly is because sometimes, and I know this from inside knowledge, people, you know, some higher level guys that are approached to do DVDs for an online sale or whatever, they'll hold back on some techniques. They won't show the entire technique in the DVD, or they won't show every single little minuscule detail. It might be, you might see the entire tech, but there might be one small detail that makes the difference between executing it and not executing it. And they'll hold that back. They'll hold that back if they're still competitors and they still want to compete on the world stage and not give that information to their opponents.
Right.
Whereas if you're looking at these details from a class drop-in instructional, you are getting the same experience that their students are getting. And you would hope that when you're dropping into a class, they're going to give their students every single bit of information that they can to make sure that they're successful. So
that's interesting. I didn't think of it that way.
So that's one thing that you need to pay attention to when you're looking at online programs and instructionals and stuff. So, but yeah, go on.
What did I say? The way it looked. So that was like my first observation that it was, yeah, like you said, dropping in on a class. And I was going to say the same thing. I was like, I kind of like that. Especially just being out of it for like how long we've been out of it, like almost 3 months. You know, I kind of, you miss that atmosphere, that setting of being in a group and watching. And, you know, you're right, the detail, like he does go into the smaller, he misses a few, but, you know, there are a few small details that he does make sure to emphasize, which is pretty normal when it comes to like a class setting. You know, it makes you a better student. And I, from what I've heard, a much better teacher also, when you got to go back and you pay attention to those tiny little details that you're supposed to be paying attention to.
And you know what? I will say that that's actually one of the negatives too, then, to the difference between a DVD instructional and a drop-in class setting, is that because this is essentially a live recording, you don't really have a chance for reshoots necessarily, right? So that can also be a negative. And I'll talk about that when we get to the second part of our drilling session. So let's go ahead and talk about this specific technique, the collar and sleeve transition to X-Guard. Just to kind of give a little bit of background on what the tech is, you're using the collar and sleeve guard to pull your opponent in so you can transition into a modified X. And from the modified X, you're going to transition essentially to a baby bolo. One thing that I like, that I really, really enjoyed, was the detail of the entry to the modified X. A lot of times, I mean, as far as I've done it before this, I've almost always, when I pull in and I underhook the leg to go into the X guard, I immediately pull my knee behind the opponent's leg. But in the instructional, super cool detail was to not bring the knee behind the knee behind your opponent's leg right away, until you're able to make them post on the floor and stretch them out. Your knee from the modified X entry will stop your opponent from smashing your entry.
Yeah.
Which is something that happens. Essentially, they'll be doing like a knee on belly on you. And I know it may be a little difficult to picture, which is why we recommend, you know, going and seeking these instructions out so you can see it visually. But it's a really, really important detail that I never, ever really realized. How important it is. It keeps your opponent standing and stopping them from smashing and putting pressure down on your chest or your stomach with their knee while you're transitioning into the X guard. So it's just for a moment, but I think that's one of those super crucial details that stops your opponent from defending your transition.
Yeah, you do all that work. And then, I mean, and at that point, you're pretty far along in the technique. So if you've done a lot of work at that point to lose it over that tiny little
thing, right? Usually. Yeah. Now, from there, after you transition into the modified X and you force them to pose, we transition to essentially a baby bolo. We pick up our opponent's leg that's resting on our shoulder. If you guys understand modified X and the X guard position, essentially, we lift past the leg in front and kick our opponent out into a back take. Super slick move, super cool transition. And immediately after sitting down watching the video as students, we got a chance to drill it. And I'll say that the instructional, it was pretty spot on. We drilled the technique. We had no problem understanding every single point, I think. Is there anything that you felt was that you didn't get from the instructional?
I will say that watching an instructional and then trying to drill it immediately after, I think doing it kind of on your own is a little difficult. Obviously, if you're going to drill it, you're going to be with someone else, but having someone else with more experience in it already helps, because even then there were little tiny details that I myself missed that you were able to catch, and which made the transition all the more smoother.
That is true. And that's something that I think might be a little unique to certain, you know, drilling situations, because most people are drilling with people that are most likely their same rank or experience level, so they may not get the, sorry if you guys hear my dog, by the way, but they might not get the the transition properly. They might not understand it exactly. So I think it's incumbent on the student, if you guys are training with someone that's more or less your same level, same experience level, and you're not understanding something, to don't give up on the technique. Instead, seek out maybe your professor or someone that's got a little bit more experience. Show them the technique that you're trying to understand and learn, and see if there's any nuance that they can give you that might have been missing from the video or that you may not understand from the video itself. So
yeah, I mean,
that's something really important.
Specifically, I think when right before the kick out, just being able to secure the belt or the pants to push out, that was something, a little detail that I don't think was emphasized in the video at all, that made all the difference in it. And I think, well, especially with these instructionals, it's kind of like, all right, well, this is the technique, but you also got to remember, like in all of jiu-jitsu, that you do what's more comfortable to yourself, you know, and you find
right
to do it.
So that's also one thing too, when you're doing any kind of instruction, is that, you know, follow the instruction as much as possible, try to understand it as much as possible, but feel free to modify and make it your own, right? So right. In the instructional, there was never a pant grip that was shown or used, but whenever I do the baby bolo, I typically grab the the waist behind the back, so I can punch their hips in between my legs, making it easier to take the back. So that was something that I added that I felt made the technique stronger and easier for me to execute. Yeah, it felt way smoother. So overall, I think that that specific tech was very easy to understand. So, but on the other hand, the second technique that we trained was the one that I was kind of interested in, which is essentially from the guard retention and recovery realm. I feel like I don't have the best guard retention, I guess. I don't know.
When it comes to
maybe I need to maybe I need to like work a little bit more on my flexibility or strength and conditioning or whatever it is, but sometimes I struggle a little bit with my recovery, which is why I like to think that I have a decent guard retention. But when it comes to guard recovery, I'd say that's probably my weakest point. So I do play collar and sleeve quite a bit. So I wanted to take a look at, you know, that's one of the reasons why we stuck to this this specific topic. And I just randomly picked just because of it sounded cool, the collar sleeve spinning inverted recovery. And this is actually something that I've done, you know, in different ways from essentially an opponent that's smash passing me, where I have essentially a lasso hook. Okay. So
yeah,
essentially that was a deep sigh.
Yeah. It's just, you get like flashbacks. It's
you know, so
you invert and it's like, okay, I thought you get so it's there. I'm there, and then it's like invert spin, and it's like, oh.
It seems simple enough. It's pretty. It's a cool looking move, but yeah. from the point of view of the instructional, we're using the collar sleeve guard. Our opponent breaks down our guard and is essentially doing like a Toreando pass. Your response is to do a lasso hook, and then, you know, essentially frame and recover into a lasso guard, which you can then transition back to collar and sleeve. The issues I found with this video is there was no real direct instruction on how your opponent's reacting and
it's almost like your opponent wasn't reacting. It's just
right. So like there. In the video, you can see that the opponent is just continuing his smash pass, attempting to get a crossface or a collar grip to continue moving forward, which is obviously, you know, the typical progression for a passer. But there was no explanation of what the opponent's objective was. And I think that was kind of important because
we ended up figuring it out ourselves. So just like, all right, what do we do in this situation?
Well, the reason I say that it was important to note is that my reaction would have been different. If I'm on top and I'm trying to smash pass and someone does this inverted recovery, which essentially, if you can imagine having a lasso hook with one sleeve and then inverting under to go almost to like an omoplata. Mm-hmm. But instead of the omoplata just fully inverting to recover in front of your opponent, that's essentially the move that you're doing. If and when people do this recovery to me, which people do try to do it, instead of me staying on the ground and keep smashing where I can get caught in a closed guard or triangle or omoplata, mm-hmm. as soon as they invert to do this recovery, I just stand up and pull.
Yeah.
You know, and the reaction is very, very different. I think that like it would have been, I think, very important to explain that this recovery is good for this situation when you have an opponent that's stuck on their knees on the floor, that isn't up on their feet.
Right. It was also one of those things where, yeah, like you said, it's situational, but you know, especially like nowadays, I feel like, I mean, one of the things you tell us a lot is, you know, pass from your feet. You know, try not to pass on your knees, and for many reasons, that seems like the most
right. Well, my philosophy is I have a couple philosophies when it comes to passing. You're either all the way in, putting pressure and smashing, or you're all the way out and using your footwork to pass. But almost always, you're always on your feet, in my opinion, so that you can transition between being all the way in and all the way out. Right? You never want to stand in the middle. Because in the middle area is kind of where your opponent's guard is strong. That's mm-hmm. where they can develop leverage. They can push and break your balance. However, if you're smashing all the way in, you're cutting their ability to be able to, you know, move around, or you're all the way out where you can speedily move around their guard and right. you know, eventually get to a pressure position.
If you're on your knees, it's like you pretty much got to be like 95% of the way there already.
Right. So then the issue with this recovery is that maybe it's a little bit dated. It seems like this is an older video just based on the geese that I see in the pictures in the video. So it's one thing that I think everybody needs to pay attention to as well is what is the metagame right now? Now, when I say metagame is a term that's used in, you know, in dynamic card games and, you know, any competitive, you know, gaming scenario, you know. And it's essentially what is the entire community kind of doing right now that's really popular.
All right.
And or what's then working. What is your response, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe at that time a lot of people were just focusing on smash passing and dynamic footwork passing wasn't a popular thing. So right. it was very easy and very common to see people just staying on their knees to pass, which is easier to maybe do this recovery. But nowadays with footwork passing being the norm, I would say that this kind of recovery isn't necessarily the best option, right. you know, because it opens you up to, you know, some Toriando style combo passes, especially if you go against someone like Isaac Dodeline, who will, if you try to do any kind of like, you know, open style inverted recovery like this, he's just going to take advantage, flip you over, take you back to the crucifix.
And,
yeah, he's just going to ragdoll you, you know, so... And that's one of the things that I think the student that's searching online for tech to add to the game and make themselves better, always try to focus on the nuances of where the game is right now. What are most people doing? And
I mean, we
judge by that.
Right then and there, we also found a way to just kind of do like get back into a safe position without having to invert at all, you know.
Right, exactly. And but that's all dependent on an opponent effort. That's all dependent on an opponent that's, you know, maybe what we do right now, which is kind of staying on their feet, staying on their toes, not bringing their knees to the ground. Because remember, guys, if your knees are on the ground, you move way slower. Right. You know, you kind of, if your knees are on the ground and you're not able to completely apply pressure to your opponent's hips,
right.
your opponent is, you're both essentially able to move at the same speed. Right. And the goal when you're footwork passing is being able to take advantage of the fact that you're much nimbler and easier to kind of move your opponent than an opponent that's on his back.
Yeah.
It's a simple test. If you get on a foot race where one opponent is on their knees or on their butts and the other opponent is standing, the one that's standing is always going to win the race.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the idea behind this. So as soon as you bring yourself to the ground and ground yourself on your knees or your butt, your hips or whatever it is, you end up going down to their speed and reaction level. You know, so that's kind of why footwork passing is becoming a whole lot more popular now, is because now I think most high level competitors are looking to take advantage of reactions with a quick step or two left or right, you know, before they can jump in and apply pressure to lock down the opponent's hips and whatnot. So, mm-hmm. So yeah, that's, you know, the first tech was cool. The second tech I thought was a little, you know, not the best for the metagame right now.
Outdated and was a good word for it.
A little outdated, yes. Yeah. But it's okay for techs to be outdated, and it's okay for you still to learn and understand certain techniques because, you know, there's no stopping understanding certain concepts because you may face an opponent that will give the same reaction that was given in the video. So there's nothing wrong with, you know, understanding that. However,
I mean, it started off with a good, like, you know, go into the collar sleeve if you feel, I mean, go into the lasso when you're feeling.
Right. Like when you look at the video, it makes total sense. Yeah. But this is why you have to drill it. So this way you can see how it works for you, as well as try to understand it as best as you can, because
it's still a great concept.
Right. It's a great concept. But the issues that I have with the video itself was that there was no explanation of the situation, right? Like there was no real, hey, this works with an opponent that you believe is, you know, focusing on pressure passing from the knees and they're not giving you this reaction.
Yeah, because like you just imagine yourself doing that, and then the opponent stands up, and then you're like, "Oh shit!"
Yeah, wait, they stand up, and I think that, like there should have been, and a recovery option from there, right? Mm-hmm. So he showed us, so Hafa showed us, I believe it was Hafa that was showing the technique. He showed us different options on the recovery based on the where you see pressure, whether you have control of the collar, or if you're controlling the sleeve of the bicep. But he never showed any kind of response to a reaction midway. And I think maybe there's another video I got to take a look, but I couldn't find any other videos with the same kind of concept that shows an opponent that as you invert stands up or makes this, you know, grip where they can go into a Toriando pass situation or leg drag from your response. And I think that that's really important for the student to understand, because you may attempt a recovery and then your opponent gives you a reaction that now you have no answers for. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of important. So yeah, I mean, those are a couple of the techs that we drilled. The way that we drilled, by the way, we each took the technique, did 3 reps each. Typically, I like to do 5 reps each, alternating back and forth. And then after we've gotten our reps in, we'll do 1 alternating back and forth so that we can kind of try to play around with feeling the technique with a little bit of movement, a little bit of resistance. And usually we'll do some specific training, but at the moment, this time we didn't really do any specific training to try the tech out. But my recommendation is, for those of you guys that want to try it, take the vid, partner up, look at the vid once or at least twice, pause for any specific details, then drill it with your partner, with one partner going for either a full 5 or 6 minute round or five reps each, alternating back and forth. And when you feel like you guys understand it, do some specific training. Go to the tech and then ask your partner to give you some resistance and until you execute the move. When you do, switch top bottom, or you can time yourself. But it's important that you're not just drilling the tech the way that you see it on the video, but that you're also drilling it with some specific training and resistance mm-hmm. so that you can try to apply it. Because sometimes you can see a tech, drill it a million times, and still not be able to apply it without resistance if you don't understand the nuances of timing. So my recommendation, that's my recommended way of a drilling, I think. So anything to add to the AOJ style learning?
No. I mean, from what we saw, obviously we had one video that worked better for us and one that didn't, you know. So I think there's a lot to gain from these instructionals. But I also feel like even some of the negative stuff, you can turn into an opportunity to learn how to improve it for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, yeah, so you can check that out at artofjujitsu.com. I believe they do a free trial. I don't know if it's 1 day or 7 day free trial, but you can at least for sure do a free trial to check out the instructionals and go from there. And for us, I believe we are going to be launching our first episode this upcoming Wednesday. You know, as we lock down these names, I know that these are you know, weird times, so we're kind of taking advantage of the quarantine time to develop this podcast for you guys all to listen to. I hope you guys like us as soon as we have a social media presence, which I hope will be by Wednesday. You should be able to find us if you just search The Grappling Review in your anywhere where you find and listen to podcasts. So yes, we would totally appreciate you giving us a like and a share. And we're looking forward to hearing from you guys. If there's anything that you guys specifically want to have us review or listen to, just, you know, hit send us it up. Our way.
Yep.
Yeah, hit us up and we'll see what's up.
Take a look at it.
All right. So I guess that's pretty much the episode for today. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the tech. I hope you guys got some information off of it that you enjoy. And yeah, see you guys on the mats.
Everybody be safe out there. Oos.
Peace.